Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to see you all sitting here again today. We had a great VBS experience this week. It was another 100 kids about that we were able to reach out with the gospel and work with, which was fabulous and wonderful. And the nice thing is that this year we did two VBSs of 3 days each, which I really enjoyed because I wasn't so utterly exhausted by the last day. But it was, and I think the kids probably, you know, they weren't so tired of us by the last day either. So it was kind of a nice thing. But that was really wonderful. The theme for the day is, two big things. First of all, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And also, we are saying goodbye to Linda, Dane, one of our teachers, one of my kids' favorite teachers who's leaving us. And, but she's, heading off to, a better place. Oh, I don't know if that sounds bad. Okay, no, she's going to our shepherd, right, in Fenton, our savior, sorry, in Fenton, it's really a great, it's a great opportunity for her to be a mentor teacher there who's able to, you know, kind of be the voice of experience on their staff, so that's a really good thing for her as well. So with all that, let us come into our Father's presence this morning, receiving his forgiveness, receiving his strength, receiving his guidance, and us returning praise and thanksgiving to him. We begin this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much that you have given us yet another day, that we can come into your presence, that we can open your word, that we can hear your words, Lord, written for us at this time in this place. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear your word, to receive from you, Lord, your wisdom, your law, so that we may know you better, Lord. And Lord, also, we ask that you would touch us with your grace, that our sins would be forgiven and we would be restored into our baptism relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we sing.
Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice.
Thank Leslie for putting that together. That was really nice. My name is Mike Kennedy. I'm your elder this morning on duty, and it's my privilege to read. First reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, where the disciples have seen Jesus feed and heal and take care of hundreds, and now they're in a storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey you." This is the reading of the first reading.
Thank you, Mike. It's now time for the children's message, and Linda Dane is going to be teaching the children's message on her very last Sunday. That's amazing. Kids, if you're here, you want to come forward, you can come forward at this time.
Are there kids?
I don't know. Are there kids?
Know. Are there?
Oh, we have Oscar's back there.
Oscar, come on up. Come be my helper. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, good. See, come on, Oscar. There's someone else up here. Come on. Hi, how are you? Come on up. You going to help me? I'm going to try to celebrate Father's Day today. You want to help me celebrate Father's Day today?
Yes.
You want to help me celebrate Father's Day today? Okay, so I have a bag here. It has a B on it. Why do you think there's a B on a bag for Father's Day?
B's in my name.
B's in your name? Why do you think?
Why does it have straight lines?
I know. I don't know. So my name is Dane, so it's kind of weird that there would be a B. I wanted to celebrate my dad today, and do you know what? 30 years ago, I changed my name from Bauer to Dane. So actually, I'm celebrating my 30th anniversary this week. So I was actually a Bauer. So this is the Bauer bag. I want to celebrate my dad. So I bet when I celebrate my dad, he's up in heaven right now. But these are things I remember from my dad. You remember how that video that we were watching? How that girl kept going, "Dad, Dad," but he was doing all these cool things. These are some things, and I bet there are some things in here that are going to remind you of things that your dad does for you. Okay? So here's the first thing I have. Okay? Look at that. There's like little croissants and little things like that. I know. Ooh, here's a cinnamon roll. Okay? So that reminds me, your dad, he actually makes money and brings home food and stuff like that, right, for you, right?
Is that a crayon?
It's not a crayon. These are actually like little bitty mini, like that biscuit,
oh,
right?
I did it on your finger.
Oh, no, yeah, the marker, because I was making the B. Very observant. Okay, so here's the thing. You know the thing that was really cool about my dad, though? Not only did he bring home money for this, my dad really was a baker. So he literally really brought home bread. But that's cool. But our dads provide so that we can have food and clothing and all those kinds of
that
things.
That
is so cool, isn't it? That God provides us a dad that can do that. Here's another thing that dads do. When we get hurt, dads, they may not put band-aids and stuff, but it's not just band-aids. Dads make sure that we are taken care of when we are hurt. Did you guys hear a storm last night? Was it scary? Yeah, dads make sure that we are taken care of.
Because my lights went out last night.
The lights went out. See, that was scary.
For a bit.
Here's another thing dads do.
I didn't hear thunder.
Does your dad play with you? Do you have fun with your dad? Do you have fun with your dad? Oh, you got the attack one. Oh, that one that's messy. That was messy. Yeah. You know what else dads do? No, they do not put on headphones so they don't have to listen to you. That is not what dads do. This reminds me that dads listen to us and they give us advice. Dads are really awesome at that, aren't they? But this is the most important thing that I remember that my dad did for me, and that is that he taught me about Jesus, and he took me to church, and he told me that Jesus loves me. Now, you know, dads are sinners, and so they mess up sometimes. So they have to ask us for forgiveness sometimes because they don't always do what they're supposed to do, right? So sometimes dads have to say, I'm sorry, and we forgive them, right? But the thing that's so cool is that God did give us dads, and that he knows that we need dads to love us, and we need to honor them. But you know what? We always have our Father in heaven. And so that is what's super cool, is that no matter what happens someday, we know that we have our Father in heaven, and that one day we will be up in heaven with him. Should we pray? Dear God, thank you that you give us dads, and thank you for loving us so much that you give us them. Please help us to love them and honor them, and thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be in heaven with you someday. Thank you for being our heavenly Father and loving us so much. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, make sure today that you give your dad a hug, and that you give your grandma and your grandpa a hug, and everybody else that actually takes care of you. All right, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Linda. All right, kids, it is now time for a little worship. So anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And looks like Mrs. Norris has the children's or the little worship today. All right, and the rest of us, we are going to look at a text out of the book of Job. Now, Job, you guys know about this guy, right? This is a man who had a lot of really bad days. Beginning of the book of Job, the devil kind of is like hanging out in heaven. I don't exactly know how this whole thing works, but there it is. The devil is like standing before God in heaven, and God says, hey, how about this Job guy? Isn't he awesome? And, you know, he does what I say. He's very, very devout. There's nobody on earth like him. He's an amazing guy. And the devil says, well, hey, if I can only get at him a little bit, I can make him turn against you. And God said, okay, go for it, which is kind of rude. But he said, the only thing is you can't touch him. You can do anything else. And so on the very first day, all at once, three messengers come in. One said, your farms have all been destroyed. One said, your flocks have all been destroyed. And one said, your children have all been killed. In the first day. And Job didn't turn his back on God. And so the devil went back to God and said, well, hey, you know, if you let me get at him. And then God said, okay, but you just can't take his life. And so then Job had what they called these horrible festering boils that were on from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, that he would scrape with broken pottery to make feel better. This is, sounds great, right? And the rest of the book is all, that's like the first couple chapters. The rest of the book is all about Job processing these great losses. And the weird thing is that we're going to read the first time that God answers Job. In chapter 38. Think about that. God's been silent for a very long time. And Job has been processing all of this, and he's done everything from blame himself to think about his sin, to think about maybe God's not being fair, maybe God's not present, maybe God's not paying attention. What's going on? Is God doing his job at all? And this is God's answer. This is God's answer. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans and with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or on what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy, who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? And when I made clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. And then it goes on like that for like three chapters. 70 questions God asks Job. Seems like a really harsh answer for a guy who's already down, don't you think? I mean, Job's already had a really, really rough time. He has been struggling and struggling, and he's done an amazing job of not questioning God. In fact, if it had been me who had to deal with all this hardship and had the same friends coming and helping me and comforting me, I don't know if I would have responded as well as Job. Job still did an amazing job, but he did get to the point where he basically looked to heaven and said, God, are you doing your job? Because remember what God's job is? Remember the covenant in the Old Testament? I will be your God, you will be my people, right? And so God's supposed to be the one who is taking care of us, providing for us, leading us, telling us what's right and wrong, giving us the guidance for life, and then we would then be his people, receive his gifts, and glorify him for being the most gracious, wonderful God that he is. And Job is now a little concerned because he's starting to feel awful lonely. And so why would God be so harsh? Well, the reason is Job is kind of losing the relationship that God wants him to have. He's starting to slip from being the creature, the one who is cared for, to judging the Creator and starting to think like, I should know this. You should answer me and I should get all my questions answered. And God basically is trying to reset the relationship and say, listen, here's 70 questions you can't even start to answer. And with current science, we still can't. These are the things that God knows that nobody else does. And we, when we are confronted with these questions, we are driven to a place of humility, which is exactly where we need to be. Because if we in God's presence can deceive ourselves into thinking that we can be proud, that we are like, I mean, here's the way it usually works, right? Something really bad happens and we talk to God about it and ask God to take it away. And if he doesn't take it away, then we start asking God, God, what did I do wrong? And we do exactly what Job did. You know, we go through all these phases of why me? And then we get to the point where we start asking God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why don't you stop this? Why don't you take this away? And God doesn't answer all of our questions. Did you notice this? I still haven't gotten an answer on mosquitoes. Why? I mean, what good do they do, right? But the thing is that God doesn't answer all of our really serious questions either. And sometimes we think God should answer our questions. Sometimes we think God owes us answers to our questions. But I think in a lot of cases, God is basically telling us this. Your job isn't to know. Your job is to trust. You know, one of my formative experiences in missions when we went to Guatemala was that we got this awesome driver, Alejandro. He's the coolest guy. He's like really quiet, but really stable and really calm, which is what you desperately want in a bus driver in Guatemala. I'm not saying that there aren't any rules, but I will tell you I have no idea what they are. Okay, the traffic looks like chaos. It looks like an absolute disaster. I mean, if you were to drive in Guatemala using American rules of the road, you would be decimated. It would be really ugly. And so I don't drive in Guatemala because I don't really understand the rules of the game at all. And there are so many times that, you know, we're driving through just the thickest traffic and he is able to squeak this bus through these holes that I would have never even imagined the bus could fit in. And But he gets us there. And, you know, he gets us around accidents on these crazy mountain paths. And he gets us around. And he finds a way. And his job, what I realize is this. His job is to drive the bus and get us there safely. My job is to sit there and be quiet so that he can concentrate on the road. And I think that that's a really great metaphor for us when we're dealing with God. You know, we really want to be in control. We want to understand. We want answers to all of our questions. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my loved one? Why is this? Why? We want to know. But it all looks like chaos out there. It looks like there's no rules. It looks like nobody's driving. It looks like this thing is just going completely out of control. What is happening here? And we have to remember, folks, listen, he's God. We are not. He has the answers. We don't. He has power and control over all things, and we just hold on to him and trust that he is going to be the God that he always has been, that he has never failed us, yet we sit and worry. You know, that he has never dropped us, yet we're just always afraid. Well, what we need to learn today is this. Let God drive. Let him be the one in control. Let him be the one who knows the rules. Let him be the one who miraculously pulls out of just nothing the answers to our problems and is able to pull us through. Because guys, listen, he's been at this a long time. You know, I mean, we ask God, what are you doing? Well, here's what God's been doing. His eyes are definitely on you and in the present. I mean, he promised that he would be with you. Last thing Jesus says before going into heaven is, I will be with you always, right? Always is a big word. That means you're never alone. And if he's with you, that means you can talk to him. If he's with you, that means you can have comfort in knowing that the God of the universe is present with you. Isn't that crazy to think about? But God's ultimate view, his ultimate goal, is not in this world. His ultimate goal is to get you to be with him in the place that he has prepared for you. That he is trying to get you to heaven. That he is bringing you to the place where he can enjoy you and we can be in his presence forever and ever. And guys, listen, that is a much bigger deal than the little things that we're going through in life right now. And it's not that God doesn't care about what we go through in life, not at all. But his first and primary goal is to get us through this life and to bring us to himself. And he's been working at that for basically since we fell into sin. The Father made a plan. Jesus was born, lived, and died, paying the price for our sin, giving us credit for his perfect life. And the Spirit brings us faith through the Word and continues to work in us as we are drawn into a closer relationship with him through our lives. This is what God is doing. And that trust relationship that we have with God includes trusting that this God that has never let us down will not let us down this time either. That he is going to be with us. That he is true to his promise. And that we can have comfort and peace in him, knowing that tomorrow he will be with us just like he is today. That he's going to take care of our children just like he took care of us. That he is big enough to handle every problem and anything this world can throw at us. That we can have peace. That we can have joy. That we can trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. We thank you so much that you have made this day for us. And that in this day, Lord, you have promised to be with us. That you walk with us. That you are our God. That you protect us and care for us. That you've never let us down and never will. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to trust in this, this your promise. And that we would know you, Lord, our faithful God. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship service then with, let me see, where am I? Oh, yes, very good. Let's sing Shout to the Lord together. Please stand as we sing. Let us now confess our faith using the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. And at this time, I'd like to have Linda Dane and Steve Kasten come forward. And Linda is an amazing teacher and a wonderful blessing. She's been such a blessing to us at church and at our church and school. And one of the things that Linda is amazing at is her willingness to do things. She has worn more hats than I think anybody else here. Everything from the directing the musicals to doing the music program to doing. You've just done so many different things. And when we didn't have a principal, she stepped up and was our administrator. Linda's willing heart is just absolutely amazing and such a blessing. And All your many experiences here are going to set you up very great for the next calling that God has for you. And I'm so glad that you're a fellow in this kingdom, of this work in the kingdom. So thanks, Linda.
John, come up.
Oh, John, I'm sorry. Come on up.
Or Merv, whoever.
Oh, Merv, whichever. All of you, come down.
I was trying to think of something about Linda this morning, and what came to mind was she is the teacher that brought us Holiday World.
Oh, that's right.
Lincoln's Museum, Holiday World, and the Museum of Musical Instruments. Yeah. So I got the opportunity to drive from here to Indiana and back with five screaming boys in the back of my truck. It was awesome. But it was really fun. The kids loved it. Well, to honor Linda today, we have a couple of gifts that we'd like to give you, and I'll let John start.
All right, Linda, from the school board, we wanted to present you this plaque for the 20 years of service. It says, in appreciation for your 20 years of faithful service to God at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School, the children and families have been blessed by your witness for Christ, your passion for teaching, your leadership, and your creativity. Thank you very much.
And I want you to know that this week, she graduated. She graduated. She is what's called a SLED graduated, S-L-E-D, school leadership. It is a one-year program for teachers who want to become better in their school leadership. And for her, it was a two-year program due to COVID. But she graduated this week. I saw it live on video at her graduation. And that, so we want to congratulate her for being a SLED 19 graduate. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. We have a gift from you from the congregation. And staff picked it out. And we also have a financial gift from the members of the congregation. And thank you for 20 years of teaching all our kids.
Let's pray, folks. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the people you've surrounded us with in ministry, Lord, our co-workers in ministry. But today we thank you especially for Linda. Lord, you've given us a person with such gifts and abilities and passions and the desire to serve you and love your children. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with her, Lord. She's not going to be working here anymore, but she's going to be working in your kingdom at the next door school, so we can continue as a relationship, Lord, as we bump into her at all the different school functions. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow her in her ministry, Lord. Bless her work. Bless the children that she serves. Bless the families of those children. Continue to use your servant here to bring glory to yourself, Lord, as she serves those people. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you've given her, the love that you filled us all with, and the passion, Lord, to serve those that you've given us to love. In your name we pray. Amen. I always forget that. You and I came at the same time. We've been here a long time. I love it. That's awesome. God is good. All right, my friends, it is now time to pray. And so as we pray today, let's thank God for a wonderful week of VBS. Let's thank God for Linda's ministry here and pray that God would bless her ministry there. Let's pray that, let's see, what else? Oh, let's pray for the dads. I guess they did something today, right? Something about that. Okay, very good. Let's stand up as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, this time that we get to be in your presence, that we open your word, that we hear from you, that we receive the comfort that you give us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with your ministries here at St. Mark's, that you would continue to give us all that we need as we move into the future. Lead us, guide us, help us to make the decisions, Lord, that will bring glory to you in your name and be a blessing to the people that you love. Lord, I pray that you would be with Linda, that you would continue to give her creativity and strength and passion and all the things that she is going to need as she continues to teach your truth to the next generation of children. Lord, I pray that you would give her support, bless her family, help her, Lord, in every way so that she is able to be your person, Lord, that one who speaks your word and helps others to believe. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the fathers of our congregation, Lord. Such a job it is to be a to be a dad, Lord, when you first look into the eyes of that little child and you just can't believe that you are the one responsible for this person. And all the decisions and all of the sacrifices and all of the work that goes into raising children, Lord, I pray that you would be with the fathers of our church, Lord, and all those who are serving our children, that you would be our strength as our children rely on us, that we can teach them to rely on you as we rely on you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of those in our congregation who are struggling with physical disabilities, with age, with all the things, Lord, that assail us in this life. Lord, in all these things, we pray that you would give us strength, that you would heal us, that you would restore us, Lord, if not in this world, then in the next, where we all are going to be able to sing praises to you forever and ever in your presence in a perfect place. All this, Lord, we ask in your name. And we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Call it foolish and impossible, but for him.
Now, my friends, as we have received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the body and blood of God himself, and through this receive the blessings that he has promised us, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. You're not singing.
We're singing. Dear.
That's right. They're not. You're singing. Okay, very good. Yes. Okay, what we have here, please be seated. I'm sorry. What we have here is we have a song that the music team put together for Linda, wishing her God's blessings.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you and be gracious. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto you.
Amen.
And we would like to just say that we really appreciate Linda. Many of us have had Linda teach our kids or have taught some of us up here. And we just really love you and pray that God blesses you in your new school. We'll miss you.
I love it. The first live music we've had in here in more than a year and a half. That's amazing. So with that then, God's blessings on all of you. Please stick around. We have some refreshments out back, and give Linda a hug as long as she's okay with that. I have no idea what Okay, very good. She's okay with that. Give Linda a hug and just wish her well, and keep her in your prayers, because first year teaching at a new school, it's going to be interesting again, right? Excellent. God's blessings on you all.